Welcome to Hub and Flow, a podcast produced by Natural Gas Intelligence. On a mission to provide transparency to the natural gas market, Hub and Flow focuses on key fundamentals driving the price of natural gas and LNG in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Natural Gas Intelligence, or NGI, is a subscription-based price reporting agency, which means we provide trusted and independent natural gas pricing and news for the North American market.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to NGI's Hub and Flow podcast. I'm Chris Lenton. Today, we are very lucky to have with us Rosanetti Barrios. Rosanetti is one of the major experts in the Mexico energy sector. She was a principal architect of the energy reform. She has worked at the Energy Ministry, at the CRE, and currently she is head of the energy team for the principal opposition candidate, Xochitl Gálvez, in Mexico for the upcoming election. So we're very lucky to have her. And she's actually a repeat guest. This is her second time on the podcast. So Rosanetti, thank you very much for being with us again.
No, thank you. Thank you, Chris, for having me. This is a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
You must be extraordinarily busy right now. Tell me a little bit about how things are going with campaign season in full gear.
Yes, well, absolutely. I'm extremely busy and I'm extremely excited too. This is an honor for me, you know. And what makes me feel so exciting is that finally, for several reasons, energy is being part of the campaign. You know, at the beginning, I wasn't sure that we could talk about energy, but fortunately, today we are talking about what is happening in the sector. And for several reasons, please let me tell you this. Natural gas is something more, let's say, it's a concept very far away from the citizen, you know. If we talk about gasoline, something like that, it's easier for the people, or electricity. But natural gas, as you perfectly know, is a fuel that is totally linked with electricity and electricity prices. So I really appreciate your invitation in order to talk about gas. Thank you so much.
No, it's a real honor. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't planning on talking about this so quickly, but you mentioned prices. We're in a very, very interesting situation with natural gas prices, which of course, NGI produces natural gas price indexes for the U.S. and Mexico.
Yes.
You know, they're historically low. Henry Hub, I think, in terms when it was adjusted for inflation, hit an all-time low in February. Waha is trading negative right now.
Absolutely.
It might trade negative the entire month. And then, you know, CFE recorded profits last quarter. And just a plug here for our listeners, you can check out NGI natural gas indexes for daily price movements at points across North America by visiting natgasintel.com. And it basically said a big reason for that was the low cost of natural gas prices. So how does that fit into the philosophy of sort of the campaign of Gálvez?
Sure. Well, let me tell you that the way that we see it, definitely it's a very good news that CFE International or CFE International, it's gaining these profits, $200 million. But we have to consider something, a very, very important element, and this is that the 85 of CFE International of sales go to CFE generation plants, you know? So this represents that CFE International is making money with CFE generation plants, and this is something very difficult to understand to me. This represents a barrier in order to have lower tariffs for Mexican citizens. And definitely, the way that I see it is that it is not sustainable. I mean, CFE International has the obligation to sell gas at the lowest price possible for the generation plants. Otherwise, the generation plants should have the right to buy gas to any other trader. And this is not happening. So there is something wrong in this matter, Chris. There is something that I don't understand. That it's something that is not working for Mexico, for CFE operation plans, and definitely for the citizens and the possibility to grow, to take advantage of nearshoring because electricity prices will maintain high. In this order, you know, in this under this let's say business model for CFE International.
So I think what I'm hearing is you would, in terms of the trading of natural gas, you would push for more competition, more transparency, sticking to the laws in place for open access on the pipelines. Is that what I'm hearing?
Of course. And review what is CFE International doing. I mean, this is totally, totally wrong if they're selling gas to the to CFE Gencos at high prices. But there are some other things, not only this one, that I would like to talk with you about Mexico natural gas industry. Of course, as you say, we need more competition, we need transparency, and we need a lot of, let's say, infrastructure. We need to finish infrastructure in order that the both peninsulas, Baja California and Yucatan, could have gas, you know, as maybe all of you know, CFE is building 4 generation plants, 2 of them in Yucatan and the other 2 in Baja California. But the fact is that there is no guarantee that these plants could have the feed of gas feeding, you know, and this is very, very concerned to me. The other element, the main element to me is storage. I just can't believe, you know, as far as I have heard, CFE International is trying or is starting a process in order to have storage in Texas, Chris. And this is crazy for me, totally, totally crazy. I just can't understand how it's possible that they can understand that this Mexico needs storage international territory precisely because we already saw what happened with Uri back in 2021, and this is something that definitely it is very dangerous for the country. So we need storage. Yes, that's the other element. We need to understand that Pemex national production is declining. It's still declining. We need rounds definitely in order to recover national production. So the gas rounds are something that we are considering very seriously. And definitely, you know, it's fuel oil production. And this is totally linked to Pemex. Fuel oil production is increasing in Pemex refineries. CFE is still consuming fuel oil. You know, these plants like Tula, Tuxpan, even Petacalco that you know, this is a coal plant, are consuming very high volumes of fuel oil. So this represents damage for the health of the citizens. This represents a pressure for the electricity prices. This represents losses for Pemex. So I really don't understand how is it possible that this government is still, you know, pushing this model. But definitely this is something that we're going to change. It is unacceptable that we maintain these big, big plants consuming fuel oil.
And those plants that are currently consuming fuel oil, it would be possible for them to be transferred over to run on natural gas?
That's a great question, and what I can tell you. Let's talk about Tula. Tula should, I don't understand how is it possible that this government could finish 1 kilometer. 1 kilometer. In order that Tula could have the access to gas. So, first of all, I would like to understand what is happening there, but what I can tell you is that it seems very, very easy for Tula to switch to gas. And then Tuxpan is ready, you know, with the Marino pipeline already operating, there is no problem. Of course, the problem is the plan, that the plan could be ready to operate next administration. It seems that goes more or less well. And Petacalco, again, Petacalco is a coal plant. It is not a fuel oil plant, but for very difficult to understand, for reasons very difficult to understand, they decide to switch to fuel oil. Maybe because fuel oil volumes are very, very high. I'm not sure. But so what the expert says is that for petacalco, to burn fuel oil instead of coal is even more risk. It's even more, it's a wrong decision because it represents more pollution. And definitely in terms of the cost of the fuel oil, it's even higher than coal. So petacalco, what I see is that Mexico needs the right mix in the electricity matrix. Petacalco, it's an important plant that we need to keep there, but I don't understand why they decide to switch it to fuel oil. So the answer is yes, it is possible to switch these three big plants to land to expand to gas and petacalco to maintaining with coal.
Yeah. But as it stands, that natural gas would come in from the United States, and something that we've talked about before, and we talked about in the previous podcast is, this dependency that Mexico has on U.S. natural gas, which is only growing despite President López Obrador's call for energy sovereignty and energy security. That relationship has grown during his period. So you mentioned resuming these oil and gas rounds as a potential policy. Would you also consider fracking?
That's even more difficult. I would like to tell that we know perfectly that the 60% of our gas reserves are under non-conventional. But this represents at the same time that 40% of our reserves are under, let's put it this way, conventional fields. So I think that we could start with the conventional fields, and then once that we could have a very, very good analysis of important elements, just like water, then we could take a decision. But for the moment, what I can tell you is that we would like to start with conventional fields.
Okay. That's helpful. I think one thing that's been in the news a lot that both you and Xochitl Galvez have talked about is sort of the creation of a new state oil and perhaps electricity company as well, and natural gas called EMEX. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Sure. What I can tell you is that more than to think about the change of the name of the company, what we are talking about is to have a more energy companies that could represent, the 21st century. What Xochitl means is that Pemex needs to transition to more clean energy, even though, please let me be very clear, nobody's talking about to leave the crude oil production forever. No, absolutely no. What Xochitl is talking about is that Pemex needs to modify CFE2, but let's talk about Pemex, to modify this business model in order to decrease emissions and to gain money. What is happening today is that Pemex has lost 2 billion pesos in losses. So this is totally impossible to sustain for the country, for Pemex. So this is what Xochitl is talking about. Again, she's not talking about not only to change the name of the company. No, we're talking about to have a state company, state energy companies that could represent the future.
Mm-hmm. And is there a natural gas plan within that?
Yeah. Okay. For Pemex, with the current, let's say, fiscal regime, it is almost impossible to think about gas. So if we want to have a totally new Pemex, we need to review the fiscal regime that applies to natural gas. And this is something that we are evaluating definitely with the people, with the team in charge of public finance.
That makes sense. Pivoting just a little bit, but I think related to what we were talking about before, one of the really, really big issues in the natural gas market is LNG exports. And Mexico is part of this North American trend of sending out LNG or trying to send out LNG to the world. What's your stance on the LNG export projects? Do you think these are beneficial for Mexico? Would you support them?
Okay. Thank you very much for that question, because it is very important to me to be totally clear about what we think about these export plans. First of all, what we believe is that we need to have regional energy policy. This means that it makes no sense that at this moment President Biden is not allowing the permits for an LNG plant in USA territory, but at the same time, Mexico is writing these permits. It makes no sense. So what we think is that we need to have, again, this regional energy policy to discuss what are the best way that both countries have the higher benefits, if it's a good idea to export that the United States gas go to Europe or Asia, then let's talk about that. And let's be, you know, the same measures in order to improve or not USA gas exports. This is what I can tell you today. We need to look for the highest benefits for both countries. And under these conditions that we have today, it makes no sense to think that Mexico could re-export USA gas, because once that Biden stops the permits, immediately converts Mexico to the backyard, and definitely Mexico is not the backyard.
Hmm.
This is the way that I see it.
Yeah, that's interesting. And, you know, there's also, it brings up the question of whether, if you can do this for LNG exports, perhaps you could also do something similar for pipeline exports and say, you know, you can't approve new projects, or, you know, I think that's very, very far away, but it brings up the whole issue of energy security. How would you rethink energy security if you were the energy minister?
Sure. First of all, we need to, you know, to have or to increase our renewable energy generation as far as we could have more renewable energy or clean energy. We are reducing the risk of fuel loss, specifically natural gas. Second, we need to increase our national production. That's a fact. Third, we need storage, as I already mentioned. That's a very important element in order to reduce risk. Fourth, we need to take advantage of our pipelines. The fact is that today nobody is taking advantage of the pipeline. CFE is paying for a capacity that it's not using. At the same time, the way that they think that they could resolve this problem is to re-export gas, which, again, it makes no sense to me. We need those pipelines in order to attend national demand, in order to attend nearshoring. So we need to go back to open access in the pipelines. And as we already mentioned, we need more competition. Let's put it this way. The mix of all these measures, anyway, will take time for Mexico to reduce the dependence of imports. The way that I see it is that Mexico will maintain the imports for several years. But again, for me, it is absolutely crucial to have a regional energy policy. When I say regional, I'm talking about the United States energy policy and Mexico energy policy.
Yeah. Well, and of course, for that to happen, you would have to repair some of the relationship. You know, there's the USMCA dispute right now, and there's a lot of people in the United States and Canada who think that their companies have been treated unfairly by the López Obrador administration. How would you work to repairing that relationship?
Well, maybe the best way to answer that question is to remember that for Xochitl Gálvez, the law means the law. This means that Xochitl Gálvez is planning to take advantage of the whole mechanism that are contained into the hydrocarbons and electricity law and open the investment for the private companies at the same time that state companies focus on the business where they can gain money. In terms of CFE, this is very, very clear. They have the monopolies of the net, so they need to invest there and they will make money. At the same time, CFE has a lot of opportunities if they focus on the distribution lines, on the distribution area, in order to take advantage of the new way, you know, to generate electricity in the 21st century. And for Pemex, definitely the main problem is on the refinery sector. And this is why Xochitl is saying these things that provoke all this reaction in different sectors, saying that
specifically, she said she would close two refineries, correct?
Yes, exactly. That's what she's saying. But again, we have to understand these announcements in the context of we need a Pemex that could stop losses and pay suppliers' debt and pay financial debt and go back to the financials market. This is what is behind all those statements.
Yeah. One thing, you know, speaking of state entities, we haven't talked about Senegas. Would you give Senegas more of a role? Would you give Senegas the CFE pipes? And what would Senegas's role be in your administration?
That's a very good question, too. Well, definitely, Senegas is there. And unfortunately, I don't understand why they decided not to take advantage of this great state entity. Senegas has a several advantages. Senegas is, as you perfectly know, they only transport gas. They don't trade gas. They don't have to trade gas. So it is much easier to think that Senegas could provide the open access that we need in order to have more competition. So Senegas has a lot of other faculties. For example, they could develop social pipelines. They could take at least part of the capacity that CFE is not taking advantage today in the pipelines, because it represents the fact that CFE maintains the 100% of the capacity in all the pipelines represents not only that they're losing money, because they're losing money, but the fact is that it represents an impact on its balance, because once that the company has the 100% of the capacity, they have to reflect a debt in the balance. So if Senegas take at least part of the capacity, this will represent a much better financial balance for CFE, so they could be in a very much position in order to make investments in transmission and distribution lines. So yes, definitely the idea is to take advantage of Senegas facilities that today are not, are not representing a benefit for Mexico.
Yeah, it's a very, very, very interesting time. I saw a poll today that showed that, you know, while Xochitl Galvez remains quite far behind, she's gaining bit by bit. Do you sense a bit of momentum growing in the campaign?
Yes, well, let's see the debates. You know, once we could have a very strong debate, I think that is going to be a very good chance to gain more market share, let's put it this way. So, yes, I think this is just the beginning of the campaign, and Xochitl Galvez is having a really extraordinary role. She has this capacity, you know, to touch the people. And as far as everybody knows her, I am totally sure that she's going to have a much, much, much better position and a great opportunity to gain the election.
If I could stay on that very briefly, what would be the main difference between a Sheinbaum energy program and a Xochitl energy program? How would you characterize in simple terms?
In simple terms, is the model. Xochitl Galvez is talking about to respect the constitution as we have it today, with the areas, that are established for is just for the government, and the areas where the private investment can participate. Claudia Sheinbaum talks about a CFE market share of 54%. This represents a change in the constitution. So what Claudia Sheinbaum is talking about is that she needs to modify the constitution in order to impose its energy model. This is totally different. The main difference is there. So how can a private investor invest in Mexico if they know that Claudia is going to change the constitution and they need to develop the whole laws and the regulation? This is a very, very important uncertainty, legal uncertainty for any kind of investment. So this is the main difference to me. When she talks about continuity, then we can think that Pemex is going to lose money or will keep losing money. And this is totally impossible to sustain for public finance. These are the main difference between both of them.
Yeah. To bring up the buzzword of the moment, which is nearshoring.
Yes.
One thing we hear from developers of projects, it's always energy. How do we get, you know, how do we get access to the grid and you know, secure natural gas? And that's become a very complicated issue. I mean,
it is. Especially if you think that you want to maintain a market share for CFE, but this is not the case for Xochitl Galvez. Xochitl Galvez is planning to focus CFE on transmission and distribution lines and, you know, to recover an open market for generation plants. And this represents that you don't have to expect that each generation plant has to maintain 54% for CFE or for any other state company, because I'm not sure if they want to create a new state company. So, of course, the challenge is very, very important. We need everything. We need generation, we need transmission, and we need distribution lines. But again, as Xochitl has said, CFE is going to be focused on transmission and distribution, and private investment in generation will be welcome under her government.
Okay, well, Rosanetti, it sounds like your phone is ringing and I've already gone over our allotted time, so I'll leave it there. I wish you all the best in this campaign, and who knows, perhaps the next time you're on the podcast, it will be in the capacity of energy minister.
Thank you so much. Very nice to see you, Chris.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Understanding the energy, regulatory, and political landscape is imperative to achieving success in the Mexican natural gas market. A daily information service that is trusted by active market participants on both sides of the border, NGI's Mexico Gas Price Index provides on-the-ground and independent news and insight, as well as market-informed natural gas pricing and flow data. Visit natgasintel.com/Mexico-GPI to find out more about NGI's Mexico services and how they can better inform your strategy today. Thank you for listening to NGI's Hub and Flow podcast today. We encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, rate and review it, and please do share it with your colleagues. A trusted provider of natural gas news, data, and pricing information for North America, NGI offers subscription-based products. Please visit natgasintel.com if you are interested in NGI and our services. If you would like to dive deeper into this subject, additional resources are available on our website as well. Just visit natgasintel.com and click on the resources tab to find the podcast page.